I'm Christina.
And this is Erin.
And you're listening to
Something to Wag About.
I wanted to talk about one of our favorite topics we have mentioned before, which is resource guarding. Christina and I could probably talk about resource guarding for days.
Weeks.
Weeks is probably more accurate. It's a huge topic, but there was just a couple of main things I wanted to talk about that have come up for me recently. For our listeners that might not know, Christina, you're always much better at definitions than me. What is resource guarding?
Okay, now I'm on the spot. So resource guarding is a completely natural behavior that we see in a lot of dogs. It means they're going to protect something they feel is valuable from others. And that might mean from other dogs, from people, from other animals in the house. It can be from many different things. And it can actually, the resource itself can be a lot of different things. Stereotypically, you know, in the comics, we think of it's a dog with a bone, but it might also be a sleeping space or a person that they find valuable or a toy. It can be lots and lots of different things. Anything that dog feels that's a resource and that they are willing to protect from others because they don't want to lose access to it.
Lovely definition, as always. So yes, there are a lot of different types of resource guarding, down to what behaviors we might see to what they are guarding. The things I want to talk to today are specific to resource guarding towards people. So the dogs are guarding a resource that they're worried they're going to have taken away by their human. And what I have seen a lot of lately is this resource guarding manifesting because the human's trying to do the right thing. And there are a ton of resources online. And a lot of those resources say that we should proactively do these things to make sure our dogs don't resource guard. And unfortunately, some of these suggested exercises actually create the resource guarding. Some examples I've seen recently, people don't understand why is my dog resource guarding? I have been going up and picking up his food dish and then putting it back down. I have been going and putting my hand into their food dish and then walking away. I have been taking the food dish away, giving them a treat, then putting the food dish back down. So I've been doing all these things. Why is my dog guarding? And unfortunately, a lot of those suggestions that we might see online, and there's a whole bunch of them. For some dogs that are just happy-go-lucky, they might not have a tendency to possibly resource guard. We don't run into problems. But for some individual dogs, if they're going to potentially have some sort of individual genetic tendency to guard, when we start teaching our dogs that when they're trying to eat their delicious meals, their human is going to continually come up and take that item away. Even if we're giving it right back, that can build a lot of frustration. Mm-hmm. That is still teaching the dog that they're eating and they're going to be interrupted. They are eating, their food's going to be taken away. Yeah, they get it right back, but they might not know they're getting it right back. But honestly, even if I was eating and someone kept taking my food and then giving it back to me 2 seconds later, at some point in time, I'm just going to be like, yo, I want to eat my food. Like, stop it. Okay. So we need to be really careful with this type of stuff.
Yeah. The example that I've seen passed around a lot that helps people understand why those methods aren't the greatest idea is if you were sitting down eating a steak and I came up, took your steak and gave it back. And if I did that every single time you had dinner, pretty soon, just me approaching you is going to make you feel anxious. Just because I pick up your steak, maybe give you another piece of a steak, and then put your steak back down, it doesn't mean you're going to be comfortable now with me approaching you and your steak.
Exactly. And it is that anxiety that's starting to be built because it's the anticipation of knowing that person's coming and they're going to do something with your food. So yeah, that's where it's coming from, a place that they're trying to be proactive, but they just don't quite understand the the theory behind it. And when I am working with puppies, one of my biggest pieces of advice, if the client asks about resource guarding, or I might even just mention it so that the client doesn't happen to go and look at the internet and say like, oh crap, I should be doing this, is honestly to just leave the puppy alone. When they are eating their food, leave the puppy alone. One of the best things we can teach our dogs is that we are simply not going to bother them when they have really high value items. If I am going to do anything, and I don't know if this is something you ever do, Christina, I generally don't specifically tell people to do this. It might be something I implement if some very, very low level resource guarding has happened, but I always say add to the pot. If you are going to do anything, add to the pot. And that is, I might subtly walk by and throw a piece of cheese at my dog. But again, it's not something I'm going to intentionally do. When it comes to resource guarding, I don't intentionally do anything to prevent it other than leave my dog alone when they have high value items. Dog to dog resource guarding is a little different, but when it comes to actual people, I give my dogs their meals and I leave them alone.
In my opinion, resource guarding is in large part genetic. I think some breeds, some individuals, some lines are really predisposed to being resource guarders, where some others aren't. So I don't really know that we can create it or prevent it. Resource guarding is like, it's there or it's not. And it's like a dial. So if it's there, we can do training to turn it down. And if it's not there, we can do all sorts of things to that dog and it might not be a resource guarder. Now, the exception is if we have access to the puppy, I think it was before 10 weeks, we can do some pretty cool stuff to prevent resource guarding if we see it in a very, very young puppy. But for most dogs, we're not being called in that early. And so when I have a puppy at home, I'm not necessarily going to proactively do things to prevent resource guarding. So there's 5 million things to train when you have a new dog, but I am going to watch. Does that puppy turn their back to me with their dinner or with their chew when I walk past? That's an early sign of resource guarding. Does that puppy take their chew and bury it? That's a sign of resource guarding. Does the puppy, you know, do more overt things like growl or lip lick or snarl or, you know, even bite? Those would be very big signs about resource guarding. So I'm more or less going to watch for the early signs. And if I see them, then I will put a plan in place, adding to the pot. I will also teach a fetch to hand as one very important skill for resource guarding against people.
I actually did just recently have an 11-week-old puppy that was already starting to air snap at the owners. And they had been doing a lot of these things. So go up, take my dog's bowl of food, put it back. And that had drastically turned up the dial very quickly as to how aggressive that dog felt it had to be towards its resources. So absolutely the genetics matter. And it's why I always play it safe at the get-go. I don't intentionally do anything, but yes, absolutely. There are a whole list of things I will give clients of, if you're worried about resource guarding, or I should say, no matter what, it's always good to watch out for these things and let me know if you see them. Because yeah, that's the education that matters, right? That's the knowledge that is going to empower a puppy owner to do the right thing by their dog when it comes to resource guarding, is knowing those first little signs that your dog is showing anxiety around food. And then we can put a bit of a plan in place to make sure that that anxiety doesn't grow. Yeah. So think about it as, we don't need to do anything to prevent our dogs from resource guarding. What we do need to do is know the signs to look for that they might guard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, you already mentioned some of the ones: freezing, lip licking. It's funny. I have clients say, yeah, he really likes to take his food and go into the other room and eat it by himself. He'll pick up one little piece at a time and take it into the other room and eat it by himself. Or they'll do that with toys. Yeah, they like to stash all their toys on their bed or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, these are kind of just the little beginning signs of resource guarding.
Yeah. And to be clear, like, not every dog is going to escalate to biting and snapping and snarling. Sub dogs might stay there. But when we see those early signs, that's a cue to us that we need to be vigilant and maybe do some proactive stuff to help them not become dogs that bite when we go near their food. That little dog you mentioned, you know, it's almost always little dogs who pick up one piece of kibble or one little bone if they're eating raw and they take it to another room and eat it. That dog doesn't feel safe eating in the room where they're eating. So that one is a prime candidate for, like you say, put that food in another room and just let your dog eat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We all need to feel safe when we eat. When we eat, when you potty, when you sleep, we need to make sure everybody feels safe having their basic needs met.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you,
I think we've talked about this a little bit previously, but what is your take on trading items, whether it's a chew stick or a toy the dog really likes, for another high value item to help with resource guarding?
Don't do it.
Yes. I could not agree more.
Yeah, it's exactly like the eating the steak analogy. If you come and take my steak every time I'm eating a steak, but you give me something else instead, that's not going to make me comfortable about you coming near my steak.
Exactly.
And if you're vegetarian like Erin, I'm so sorry. Pick something else that's really yummy to you, like cheesecake. Let's go cheesecake.
So good. Another problem with the trading that I encounter is that it really relies on you fully understanding what is valuable to your dog. And I'm going to say, even if I knew 100% what was more valuable to my dog, I still wouldn't play the trading game for what you said. But when I hear people explain why the trading game works, it is assuming that you have something that is higher value than a chew stick. And especially if a dog doesn't necessarily get a chew stick a lot, or even if they do, a chew stick for a lot of dogs is really high value. So if I take that chew stick and I give the dog a piece of cheese, I am assuming that that piece of cheese is higher value than that chew stick. That might not be the case.
The other piece there too is that possessing is valuable to some dogs. So they might have something of lower value. The item itself might be lower value than what you're going to trade, but the fact that they're possessing it increases the value of that by many, many times.
Absolutely.
So it's not the item itself, it's the possession that's valuable to a lot of dogs.
Exactly. And that's where we get into trouble. And it is a big reason why I don't ever recommend the trading game, because there are so many factors that just aren't being considered. Poor Christina has something she really wants to say. She's shaking her fist like a child right now. What do you want?
I'm so excited. That's not actually the main reason why I say don't trade.
Okay, what's your main reason? I mean, I have many reasons why I say don't trade, but that is a big one. But what is it?
So the main reason I think trading doesn't work is it involves you actually walking up to the animal while they have the resource. And it's that approaching them that can create a lot of anxiety, because they don't know what you have yet, or maybe they're not sure, or it creates keep away. Mm-hmm. So you're in theory beginning the game of chase by approaching your dog.
Yep.
So in order to trade, you have to approach the dog. And I don't want people to approach the dog. If my dog has a sock or a chicken bone or something else, I don't want to have to approach them in order to get that item away from them.
Exactly. And that's why you said it earlier, and I do the same thing. If someone has a keep away problem, we're going to teach you retrieve. That's my go-to. I'm going to get them to retrieve something rather than you approach the dog. And I say it all the time when somebody is asking me about a potential situation. People who love to pull garbage out of their dog's mouth. I'm like, worst case, we are going to get some resource guarding. Okay, if your dog is going to have a tendency to resource guard, we're going to be turning up that dial and we're going to start getting some resource guarding. Best case, you might have a saint of a dog and they don't do anything. But usually, we're going to start seeing a little bit of keep away, which, you know, on the scale of things, resource guarding is less desirable, but keep away can still be a big problem. Especially if you want to do off leash with your dog, which I do encourage most people when it's safe to do off leash. But if you have a dog that plays keep away, well, that's going to create a lot of problems. So I love teaching dogs to retrieve items. That's actually something, if you're going to do something proactive, that's what I'm going to do. I teach all of my dogs to retrieve, and it's something fun you can do with your dog. And if somebody says, what can I do proactively to prevent resource guarding? Teach your dog to retrieve.
And every dog can learn it. I actually had to clicker train my golden retriever how to retrieve. It was embarrassing. But right now I have a little American Eskimo dog. He does not really play with toys. He plays tug and plays keep away in a different way that I actually encourage. But anyways, so I've shaped a retrieve for him, lots of clicker training. So if we're in a special training space and there's weird items on the floor, his go-to trying to figure out how to earn reinforcement right now is to pick it up and try to bring it to me. So I've created kind of an obsessive retrieving dog out of my little American Eskimo. It's kind of funny. He tried to retrieve tinfoil and scared himself. I've got a video of it. I'll show you.
That's adorable. And it's like, it's what a wonderful problem to have. I love dogs. I bring me treasures, right?
So do you get people saying, hey, but I don't want my dog going to go get stuff just so we can play fetch games?
I do. I do get that. I approach it two ways. And it is a little dog dependent and it is a little client dependent. If it's excessive, then we'll just put it on cue. And if my dog brings me something and I didn't ask for it, you know, I might say thank you, but then just not engage with them in any other way, to just devalue that a little bit. And then when I have it on cue, you know, bring me, then they really excitedly bring this to me. If it's not excessive, I do sometimes have a conversation of, is it really a big deal? I'm not gonna lie. I do sometimes say, well, this is so much nicer than your dog running away with it. But saying at the same time, like, you don't necessarily have to engage with them. And I guess it depends a little bit too on what it is. I haven't personally had the experience where people tell me their dog is continually bringing them garbage. You know, I might approach that differently than the dog's just continually bringing them socks or their own toys. If the dog continually bringing me garbage, well, we're going to talk about some management plans and some cues and that type of thing.
I have a friend who taught her dog, you know, the trick titles. She taught her dog to get a Kleenex and bring it to her, and heavily reinforced that because the dog really, it wasn't something the dog thought was fun at all. So she put a ton of reinforcement. So the dog found that to be fun. Now, when we go hiking, people use the bathroom in the woods. The dog is always looking for, if she finds toilet paper in the woods, she will bring it to you.
Oh no.
So I don't know that I'd trade that trick myself. But I would. I just wouldn't put that much value in it. And I would definitely never put that much value in it out and about. I would cue my dog to out and then not reinforce it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But I love hiking with that friend because it's amusing to me as not the dog owner and not the person she's trying to bring it to.
Oh my god! Oh man.
The other thing I wanted to add is if your dog is continually doing that, that just screams to me unmet needs. Your dog is seeking stimulation. Your dog is seeking engagement with you. Go do something with your dog.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Right? Yeah. If your dog is like, hey, I'm bored, and they're not chewing the baseboards or barking at the neighbors, they're instead trying to engage with you, go do something with your dog. Don't have to do that thing with your dog if you don't like that behavior, but go take your dog for a walk or go play fetch or go do something.
Yeah. And that is, it's always going back to root causes of problems, right? It's amazing how many times it is either a physical thing going on or lack of needs being met. So excessively bringing stuff. Yeah, it makes sense. You've put a lot of reinforcement into that. The dog's asking to engage because it's bored and it needs some sort of outlet for its energy. So I love that. Yeah. Go do something with it. Yeah.
And please don't pee on your dog's things to stop them from resource guarding. That's one tip that seems to go around a lot. You don't need to pee on your dog's toys or on their bed or on their food dish to prevent.
Have you ever had anybody actually say they do that? I mean, I've heard it go around, but I don't know if I've ever actually have heard it.
But I have had people say that they bite their dog's ears to prevent the puppies from biting them. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if people peed on their dog's things.
Well, we are happy to say you do not need to do that.
No, you do not need to pee on anything that is not meant for peeing into.